Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, always the Holy Spirit. Matthew opens up this section by showing the reaction of Jesus to some pretty terrible news. Jesus hears that John the Baptist, you know, no one greater than him, the Elijah that who is to come, the sight to be seen in the desert, the baby jumping in the womb, that one, he's dead. He was beheaded. And John, yeah, that's right, for sure. And John the Baptist died. And Jesus, well, what would you expect? He's upset. So Jesus walks away with probably his head hung down low and a weight on his shoulders, and he goes to pray. Well, the next time we see Jesus, he sees the crowd gathering around him. Now, I'm not sure how long he actually got to pray, but I'm sure it didn't feel like enough. It's really never enough. So a crowd gathers, a great crowd, really 5,000 people at the least, depending on how you count. I'm not exactly sure, again, why they're there. Why have all these people gathered there? They might be there because they heard about John the Baptist, and they had to find their place of refuge to think things through. And for them, it was near Jesus. I don't know. Could be. They might be there to hear his teachings like they have before, because Jesus had just finished that long section of teaching, and maybe they've come back for more. It could be that they long for him. It could be that they're here because they want Jesus, what do you think, to heal them and lead them. I don't know exactly why they were there, but they are, and you can imagine the sight. Can you see 5,000 plus people gathering in the wilderness and trying to get closer and closer to Jesus? No stadium seating, you know, no microphones or no big-time lighting or anything like that, but they are there. What a logistical mess. But Jesus accepts this interpretation, and he steps out from his boat into this sea of humanity. He shows much compassion on the crowd, much compassion that's gathered around. We see him start to heal the people, the sick that are among them. How do you picture Jesus healing the sick? I see Jesus setting aside his weight, all of his burdens, even though those burdens were great, in order to carry the burdens of this enormous crowd. Their needs were great, very great. He needed time to spend in prayer and devotion and reflection, and he needed some time for sadness. But he drops it all, no problem, and off he goes, taking care of other people, holding their hands, healing, taking off bandages, putting on new bandages, holding their ears and their eyes. Can you even see that what Jesus was doing, healing these people, that these people got up and started jumping and praising God? What an amazing picture. An ordinary-looking man, whom we, of course, know as the extraordinary Son of God, healing and caring for this massive gathering of people. Well, obviously, Jesus isn't the only person to notice this outrageous crowd and their overwhelming needs. The disciples saw a few people, you know, rubbing their stomachs. Oh, you know, they were looking like they were really hungry. And because it was almost dinner time, and there wasn't anything around for these people. The disciples saw the needs of these people, but they also realized that they had no ability to care for them. There isn't a Golden Corral close by. You know, we're outside of the pizza delivery places. So what do we do? How do we feed all these people? You gotta send them home. So I picture Jesus now. He's still healing people and working with people. He doesn't even have to look over his shoulder to see the faces of his disciples when he says, "Don't send them home. You feed them." You know, they already decided they couldn't do anything. Only a 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are we going to feed these people? Jesus, we were kind of hoping, too, that we could spend some little extra time with you. Can you blame the disciples? They want to be with Jesus. They want to hear him talk to them. Well, Jesus, he settles the crowd, gets them to sit down on the hillside, and then he holds up the bread and the fish, and he said a blessing, and he broke the bread, and crumbs went flying. Everyone ate to their satisfaction, and the disciples even gathered more than they started with. Miraculous. Can you believe that? It is just flat miraculous. What do you think the people who were gathered there thought? I mean, did they even see this miracle that was happening below them? What do we see? Did they know a miracle had just occurred? A miracle actually that's been passed down for thousands of years, and I'm talking about Holy Communion. Did they know that what they were experiencing at that moment was the closest thing, the very closest thing they had ever seen to a little taste of heaven? Do you see it? The meal itself seems mundane, not fresh baked bread and caviar, you know. It's just bread and it's just fish. Jesus, you know, changes everything. He changes the rules. He can change the rules of the natural order of things when he feeds 5,000 people with meager supplies. And he gives us a little glimpse, just a little glimpse, of heaven to carry us through. What a picture. Can you imagine that? What a picture. See him provide. See him pray and break and give and feed 5,000 plus people. Simple but miraculous. What a sight. Jesus provided with simple means and miraculous ways, and he still provides for us today, over 2,000 years ago, and he still is doing it today. You know, we receive a little small meal every time we come forward. It's a little bread and a little wine that gives forgiveness for life and for salvation. In this life, you and I need all those moments when God feeds us and nourishes us and forgives us because of this life. Because this life is filled with the pain of death. The pain of death, which we can't overcome alone. Jesus, who was crucified for our sins, died with the promise that he would conquer death. And in his resurrection, of course, he proved it. And we have just a little glimpse of what new life in him looks like today and forever in the Father's house. Until that day, when we celebrate the feast of Always Enough, we gather around the simple places where Jesus promises to feed us with enough, just enough to carry us through the simple things like word and promise. You know, we need those things. We desire those things. You know, we see him work and work again. See him in the wafer. He's there. See him in the wine. He's there. And see him in the water. He's there. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.